Now, your host, Michael Cohen, with the Capital City Recap on more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS.
And we're back. I'm Michael Cohen with producer Desi Simmons. It may not be very long before the domestic partners of public employees will no longer be eligible for health insurance benefits. The bill banning the current practice narrowly passed the House, now in the Senate, leading to the question, what would the impact of the ban really be? To talk about that, I'm joined by Michael Bolus. He's the executive director of the President's Council, State Universities of Michigan. Welcome to the program, Michael.
I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
You know, Michigan Supreme Court ruled in 2008 that the state's ban on gay marriage makes it illegal for public universities to provide domestic partner benefits to the partners of gay employees. How have schools been able to continue providing such benefits following that ruling?
Sure, it's a good question, and it's perfectly legal what we're doing. Benefits, these are benefits that cover another adult in the household. It's a mainstream policy in both the public and the private sector. The relationship status isn't a factor. It's gender neutral. In fact, so the policy can include same-sex couples, but it can also include opposite-sex couples. And we know on a national trend, 40% on national average are opposite-sex couples and children of these domestic partners.
Well, let me ask you, would this bill that is banning domestic partner benefits effectively do that, or are there other ways universities would continue to provide these benefits?
First, so your listeners understand, this is a ban for all public employer groups, the state employees, universities, schools, community colleges. It's a little bit inconsistent and perhaps arbitrary that it doesn't include private sector, who you got over the majority of the Fortune 500 companies offer health care coverage for non-married partners, including Chrysler, Ford Motors, General Motors, Kellogg Company in Battle Creek, mm-hmm. Myers in Grand Rapids, Steelcase in Grand Rapids. This is a very common policy.
So I guess my question is, would we see university employees with domestic partners no longer having those health care benefits, or would universities find a way around that likely?
I can't tell you. I think it's an extremely intrusive and questionably flawed from a legal and constitutional point of view. It may be challenged in the courts. It's difficult to say. What I can tell you is it's a recruitment and retention issue for the universities, and it would put us at a competitive disadvantage.
You know, those who support the ban say that the one-man, one-woman marriage amendment approved by voters in 2004 indicates that most Michiganians are in no way supportive of taxpayer money providing health care benefits for domestic partners. Is that a reasonable assertion?
Well, we're providing them, I mean, Chrysler, Ford, General Motors, Kellogg's, Myers, Steelcase—they get huge tax credits. Those are public tax dollars. They're going to provide tax benefits for these companies that are arguably provide the same benefit. So the question is, you know, right now the state's annual support appropriation is 22% of the university's general fund. That's the lowest it's been in history. Mm-hmm. They've just cut us $827 per student. You know, this is a troublesome trend that universities are getting less and less from the state and being micromanaged more and more based on particular social and religious beliefs. And this is just one issue, domestic partner benefits.
I'm talking to Michael Bolus, the executive director of the President's Council, State Universities of Michigan. Well, let's talk about the situation universities are in when it comes to funding. How reliant are schools on state funding at this point? Isn't tuition a far more significant funding source?
Yes, it's roughly 80% tuition, 20% state support.
Well, that in fact tells us then that the state funding is not nearly as important as it used to be. With the state facing the cutbacks that it needs to make across the board, isn't cutting back on university funding just part of the deal?
Well, it's a very troublesome decade long trend of cutting state support for higher education. And I mean, and if you look at this, you know, we've been cut this decade by $2,312 per student since 2001. That's the state cut on a per student basis, and basically that amounts to a massive hidden tax on families sending students to college. So we maintain a pretty high quality despite these, because we try to operate mm-hmm. on an efficient basis. We eliminate some departments and operations. We reallocate money to financial aid, but the state is becoming less and less of a partner. Don't like it that good. We'd rather be a public good than a private good, but that's not the trend right now.
I see. Now, Michael, while I have you here, I want to focus on one particular issue, which is this tuition increase issue at MSU and Wayne State. Republican lawmakers say they raised tuition above the key 7.1% increase marker, and that the schools may still be facing the loss of millions of dollars. Should these two schools have been more conservative in their increase to avoid the situation?
First, it was approved by the governor's budget office, and prior to the raising of tuition, the legislature approved a 7%, allowed school universities to raise their tuition to 7%, and that is what all 15 universities did. All 15 were approved, and it's not. I want to make sure we single out. There's only a handful of lawmakers who have singled out Michigan State and Wayne State. The mass majority have not.
I see. Although, from my understanding, these were the only two schools that came so close to the line.
That's right. It was from a misinterpretation or misunderstanding or lack of communication in terms of when and how you set tuition. And do you include the full academic year or just the fall and winter? A budget year is a budget year. An academic year is an academic year. They take in all 12 months. And within a 12-month cycle, MSU and Wayne State were under the 7%.
And a 7% increase on its own, that's a fairly sizable increase if you're looking at an annual increase of that sort.
It is. And let me do the math for you. They cut us $213 million, $827 per student. We raised tuition on average $641. Okay, that left a net cut in operational spending of $186 per student. So yes, we did. We were forced to raise tuition, but we didn't raise it to cover the entire cut.
About a minute left, Michael. Are most of Michigan's universities and colleges financially strapped, or do they have a fairly healthy reserve?
Most of them are at a point now, because we've been at cutting our operations, our state support for a decade now. They're in a difficult position. It's difficult to see how we can maintain our high quality, can be sustained, and if the legislature continues to cut state supports. Our universities are considered among the finest in the nation. Our graduates can compete with the best in the world. And the state government has to turn their attention to higher ed. They can't.
Mm-hmm.
We can't continue to cut our way to prosperity.
30 seconds. Are attendance levels at schools fairly solid, considering how much they rely on tuition?
They're very solid. We have, again, record number enrollment on for the 15, and we have witnessed enrollment increases without interruption since the mid-90s.
Well, at least that is some good news. Michael Bolus, Executive Director of the President's Council State Universities of Michigan, thank you very much for joining me.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.